The wisdom of God, the title of my teaching tonight, the big idea, the all-wise God gives wisdom to his people for our good and his glory. Amen? The all-wise God gives wisdom to his people for our good and for his glory. How do we typically gauge wisdom? How do we assess whether or not someone has wisdom? I think it's common for most to associate wisdom with age, and with age comes experience. But it's certainly more than that. Wisdom has to be more than that. Wisdom has to do with both knowledge and action. Because a fool might have the right knowledge, but consistently fails to exercise that knowledge, right? A wise person is someone who has the right knowledge and lives it out. Amen? So when you hear the word wisdom, I'm certain faces come to mind. Individuals in your life, maybe a parent or a grandparent, a friend, and you think, man, that person's wise. They sure are. They're wise beyond their years. But for the believer, for the follower of Jesus, there's no one wise like our God. God is perfect in wisdom. He's perfect in wisdom. R.C. Sproul says this, and it's really helpful. He says, God himself never makes foolish decisions. God never behaves in a foolish manner. There is no foolishness in his character or activity. So today, this week, we're going to begin a new chapter or a new section in our study on the attributes of God. We started, right, oh, goodness, 4 months ago now, with the incommunicable attributes of God. And what are those? So there's two classes, right? When we talk about God's character or attributes, what he's like, right, there's two categories. There's the incommunicable attributes, and those are the things that make God distinctly God, right? Those are the attributes that God does not share with us. Those are things like God is omniscient. He's all-knowing. God is all-powerful. God omnipotent, right? God is omnipresent. He's everywhere at the same time. Now, are we any of those things? Of course not. Those things belong to God. Well, there's also a category called the communicable attributes, okay? And those are the things that God does share with us. So let me begin by reviewing what those communicable attributes refer to. These are the attributes that God graciously shares with us. And yet, there's an important caveat. Although we can be, for example, loving, merciful, and today, wise, we can never be perfectly loving, merciful, or wise. Remember, only the Lord is infinite. Everybody say infinite. And that was one of the incommunicable attributes, right? God is infinite. Now, what does that mean? When we talk about the infinitude of God, we're referring to his perfection. Right? God is the only being who is perfect in all his attributes. God alone is perfectly loving, perfectly just, perfectly faithful, perfectly good, and then tonight, perfectly wise, whereas we are not. We're not. So let me ask this question. Knowing that the Lord shares these attributes with us, things like love and mercy and wisdom, knowing that should move us to what? Knowing that God does share certain attributes with us should move us to what? Imitation, which is worship, right? That's bearing his image. Imitation. Ephesians 5:1. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children. We are called, commanded to imitate God, and we can. In fact, we are graciously given the Spirit of God, so that we can live like the Son of God. Amen? So we can imitate God because we're given the Spirit. Now, I've said this many times, but the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, those attributes, those characteristics sound like who? Who did those things perfectly? Jesus, right? Jesus came to make a way to God, but Jesus also came to show us what God is like. But we're given the Spirit to do those same things. Isn't that good news? And when we do those things, who gets the glory? God does. All right, so where to begin? The way I've formatted this series for the past 4 months, when we look at an attribute, I define it. That's the first thing. So what is this attribute? Secondly, where is it found in Scripture? Right? Where is it supported in God's Word? And then thirdly, what do we do with it? Right? I mean, remember weeks ago, it's like, God knows everything. What do we do with that? God is wise. Tonight, what do we do with that? What do we do with the wisdom of God? So first, let's define it. So point number one, God is what? He's wise. What is wisdom? Now, the world has a definition, okay? I'm not concerned about the world's definition. I want to know what God's Word says, okay? So we're going to look at Scripture tonight a lot, but I want to start with a very terse, albeit helpful definition by Wayne Grudem, okay? And it's this. It's a few words. He says, God's wisdom, this is Wayne Grudem, means that God always chooses the best goals, okay? That's the first part. God's wisdom means that God always chooses the best goals and the best means to those goals. So he always chooses the best goals and the best means to accomplish those goals. That's wisdom. It's God's wisdom. Now, Jen Wilkin, who got that book? I think maybe Christy Webb, or was it Janet? Did you get the one, the orange one? You did. What a good friend. So this is her definition of God's wisdom. Wisdom is closely related to knowledge, but it's also distinct from it. Knowledge is possessing the facts, right? We get that. Knowledge is possessing the facts. Wisdom's different, okay? Wisdom is the ability to achieve the best ends with the facts. Possessing all the facts, who possesses all the facts? Who knows all? God. So possessing all the facts, God combines them with perfect insight and chooses wisely every time. He goes on, or she goes on to write, wisdom implies moral goodness, which God possesses in infinite supply. The paths he chooses are always wise and always good. Now let's look at the languages, because there's obviously a word in Greek for wisdom, which I'm sure you're interested to know. It's a pretty common girl name. Sophia. And then there's a Hebrew word as well, which is, it sounds like you're getting ready to spit. Chachma. That's wisdom in Hebrew. Let me just share what these words mean in the original languages that the Bible is written in. So the Greek word for wisdom is what? Sophia. And it refers to the, and again, this word shows up all over the New Testament, okay? Little Elizabeth. I love it. Keep her in here. Sweet little girl. Hey, let's pray for that family because she's had some sickness too, and she's just now getting over it. Sweet little baby. Sophia refers to the capacity to understand and function accordingly. Good judgment. Wisdom is making good judgments, right? And then the Hebrew word is what? Chachma. And it refers to wisdom in administration, prudence, and just all around good sense. Good sense. Here's the definition I've provided for us tonight. Simply put, wisdom is having the knowledge of what is right and the ability to do it. It's not just knowing what's right, but doing what's right. Wisdom is knowing what's right and doing what's right. Because knowing what's right, that's just knowledge. That coupled with doing what's right is wisdom, right? Let me say a few more things about wisdom. And then we'll look at what the Bible says. And I think you'll agree with this. You should. Wisdom, essentially, is having both a right view of God and a right view of ourselves. Isn't that wise? Doesn't God want us to have a right view of Him and a right view of ourselves and then to live accordingly? Okay? That's wisdom. Foolishness or folly happens when we get those two things wrong. Okay, folly is not having a right view of God and living according to that wrong view of God. Folly is not having a right view of yourself and then living according to that knowledge. For example, a wrong view of God results in wrong worship. Right? A wrong view of God results in wrong worship or a complete lack of worship. Now, wisdom sees God as supreme, as the creator, as king, as savior. If we get this wrong, we fail to give God the worship that he's due. Now, a wrong view of ourselves, let's talk about that. A wrong view of mankind results in a wrong diagnosis or a foolish diagnosis. And here's what the world would say. Instead of seeing ourselves, right, the world doesn't really have this category of sin or spiritually dead, right? The world would say we're generally okay. And if we're not okay, we have the strength to pull ourselves up by our own bootstraps, okay? So I'm making the point here that because of sin, we wrongfully diagnose what's wrong with mankind, okay? And that leads to disaster. So here's the example. Instead of seeing ourselves as spiritually dead and hopeless as saving ourselves, we simply see ourselves in need of moral improvement, which can be done independently of God. Is that true? No, of course not. So again, wisdom is having both a right view of God and a right view of ourselves. Now, what's the solution here? What is the only solution to having a right view of God and a right view of ourselves? The gospel. And here's what I mean. Because the gospel teaches us that Jesus, who is fully God and fully man, is king, and we are not. And that because of sin, we need the Savior. The gospel teaches us that only through faith in Christ can we be forgiven and reconciled to God. The gospel teaches us that Jesus is worthy of our lives and that our greatest good is to seek his glory in all that we do. You see, the gospel is the very epitome of wisdom. So if you want a right view of God and a right view of yourself, you got to start with the gospel. Does that make sense? Because without the gospel, we're always going to get it wrong. Without the gospel, we're going to say, no, I'm God, I'm the highest authority, and I might not be perfect, I'm just morally flawed, and I have what it takes in me to improve myself, right? Self-actualization. That's a lie. It's not the truth. The Bible would say, we are what? We're spiritually dead. We are a mess. We are a mess. We are what? We're worms. And we need Christ and only Christ to make us right, to heal our hearts, to fulfill us, and forgive our sins, to give us true joy and satisfaction, and to bring us into right relationship with God. That's wisdom, and it's found in the gospel. All right, what's next? Number two, where do we see this attribute revealed in Scripture? Romans 16:27. Last chapter, the very end of one of the greatest books in the Bible. It's hard to say that. I mean, it's all God's word. It's all good. I should say it's one of my favorite books in the Bible. But it's a great letter, right? If you've read Romans, it's fantastic. To the only wise God be glory forevermore.